Jesse Ventura looks like almost a normal person compared to Donald Trump.
Yeah, that is one of the things about him. I mean, these politicians probably have the same views as Trump, but they're not willing to say what he says. And I guess, you know, that's the credit I can give to the guy, is that he does, you know, if he's being honest, and I don't know if he is, but if he's being honest, at least he's willing to come right out and say what he wants. And sort of like Bernie Sanders, right? Like, they're both bad news, but Sanders will at least tell you he's a socialist, whereas the Democrats won't ever, you know, use that term to define themselves. The Republicans probably all would do the same things as Donald Trump, and probably the Democrats would as well. You know, lists for Muslims, banning them from the country, whatever. It's just that they have to act like that's not who they are. And then once they get into office, then they'll reveal that they're pretty much Donald Trump.
Wouldn't certainly say that the majority of Democrats inside are something like Donald Trump. A lot of them do want heavy Muslim and Mexican immigration into the country because they want to be able to get more votes. Because what I see right now is it is not immigration that is occurring with the Syrian refugees coming over here. It is coercive moving by the United States government, because it is the government themselves who are subsidizing these individuals to come here. So if a libertarian is stating, well, this is a great thing, and they're suddenly agreeing with Obama, it's not right for Adam to steal from Bill and give to David, but it is okay for Adam to steal from Bill and give to Muhammad. It's a little bit confusing to me that suddenly we can just throw away our principles when it comes to some of this taxation issue because it's a topic of immigration. We don't want to come off as right-wing bigots, I suppose. If free staters are going to say that we should have 20,000 people come to New Hampshire for liberty to change things, therefore you are acknowledging that mass immigration into a particular area with a specific type of ideals can change the nature of the area
of
you're
course.
In. Yeah. Right. But then we go, but if we bring a bunch of people in who believe in Sharia law, that's not going to have any bad results. Who don't believe in the liberation of women and think that women should essentially dress up like Batman, but they don't get a Batmobile because they're not allowed to drive around in the car. That, to me, seems counterintuitive or contradictory to the very notion that the free staters can achieve something, right?
Germany was slow to wake up to what appeared to happen here in Cologne on New Year's Eve. Grainy pictures show fireworks being thrown into the crowds, and now there have been more than 100 complaints of muggings and sexual assaults, and at least one complaint of a rape that night by gangs of young men.
They felt like they were in power and that they could do anything with the women who were out in the street partying. They touched us everywhere. I was touched from behind my back, and I was touched under my skirt, and my buttocks were touched. I tried to defend myself, swinging my arm backwards, and I almost fell down the stairs. There were so many people there, you couldn't do anything.
Last night, protesters gathered at Cologne Cathedral, the banner says, against sexual violence and racism, and this has become a row about both. The police have been quoted as saying the attackers appeared to be of Arab or North African origin. Further reports said there were 1,000 of them, that it had been coordinated. All of which has added fuel to an already febrile atmosphere in Germany over the number of migrants granted asylum. Today, the German Interior Minister attempted to play down the ethnicity issue.
Man kann jetzt nicht,
General suspicions against refugees that are based on leads saying that the perpetrators looked like people from North Africa are just out of place. But also, we should not skip the debate about whether they are refugees or not.
And that's what's happening. Members of a right-wing group arriving today at a left-wing demonstration at odds over curbs on migration.
Dramatic scenes in the last half an hour as the police tried to contain these protesters. It was hugely tense, but just in the last few minutes, you might be able to hear things have quietened down a lot here in Cologne. The riot police have managed to contain the hundreds of right-wing Pegida protesters inside Cologne station now. So they were kettled, there was use of a water cannon, and now they've all been dispersed onto the platforms here, and they're being put on to trains out of here. And this, of course, is an effort. You can hear the police dogs just beside me here. They're trying to control the crowds who are trying to pass through the station. This is an effort to ensure that there is no more violence following those attacks on New Year's Eve, when the police face huge amounts of criticism for their failure to protect the women who were here to celebrate.
Happy New Year, everyone. So presently, I'm still working on my presentation examining Islam. the history of Muhammad as well as the Crusades and what it means for the future, and whether or not the religion of Islam, as represented within the Quran and Hadiths, is compatible with libertarianism, the liberation of the mind and the small amount of positive Western values which champion science and secularism in the modern age. While I'm doing that, I felt that you may enjoy a recent conversation I had with Ian Freeman, who is known for his activism at the Free State Project, Free Keene, which is an offshoot, which is more localized within the town of Keene within New Hampshire, which has gained some notoriety on television, as well as, of course, Free Talk Live and his work with CopBlock. In this conversation, we discuss a multitude of topics, ranging from what is the libertarian perspective on Muslim immigration, which is happening in many westernized countries, the rise of Donald Trump, and something that not everyone necessarily knows much about, which is the recent Free the Nipple campaign going on in New Hampshire and elsewhere, where it is being postulated that in order for the equality of sexes under the law, men and women should both be allowed to walk topless on public beaches or public property as a whole. This subject is of interest to me, but only minorly, because I think the causes to be fighting for, this one is kind of on the lower end. But of course, that's subjective. When I think about campaigns like this, though, where you have activists from the left stating that not being allowed to show your nipples is an aspect of rape culture, I always try to imagine how ideas like this would go in places where the society isn't as socially liberal, where rape culture really exists, where you have groups of people who actually view women as a lower subspecies, where they're stoned to death for not having enough witnesses to a rape, where their religion calls for the stoning of those who leave the religion, and where sexual slavery is a norm within society. And what recently happened in Cologne, Germany on New Year's, where women who were dressed in normal clothing were physically and sexually molested and assaulted by hordes of individuals who call Muhammad the Prophet and Allah their God. Muhammad, who violently sexually assaulted many women, cut off the heads of those who would not believe in his crazy ramblings, who stated that those who are apostates, those who do not believe in him after they first did, should be murdered. And not only shall they be murdered, they shall burn in hell for eternity. That is a culture of violence. That is a rape culture. And you'll be learning a lot more about him in the coming episodes of the Libertarian Atheist podcast. Of course, you can find everything at libertarian-atheist.com. Please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Stitcher, and as well as YouTube. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this is Carlos Morales of the Libertarian Atheist Podcast. Everything found at the new website, libertarian-atheist.com. And of course, you can subscribe as per usual on iTunes, Stitcher, as well as YouTube. Although this particular show will not be on YouTube because we are in studio with Ian Freeman today. How are you doing today, Ian?
Hey, thanks for coming out to Keene.
Absolutely. I ended up in Keene due to work and ran into Ian. By ran into Ian, I mean I just ran into his house kicking and screaming because I'm freezing my balls off. And we decided to do just a little show. So for anyone who doesn't know Ian, although most of you probably do, Ian is the host of Free Talk Live. Ian, what other kind of activism are you involved in?
I do a few things. I'm the founder of FreeKeene.com, which is a website that reports on various different activism happening here in New Hampshire, across the state. And I put out a yearly convention called Keenevention, which focuses on the activism happening across New Hampshire. I'm the program director of LRN.FM, which features dozens of liberty-oriented podcasts and live shows. And I also do some activism aside from sort of the media side of things. I, you know, run for political office. I've done civil disobedience. I've been arrested 8 times or something like that. So, you know, I've done a few different things here and there.
Very cool. Yeah, I first heard about the Free State Project, which I am involved in right now, as many listeners would know, through essentially your show as well as the School Sucks Project, of course, with
Fine Show.
Yeah, Fine with, Show. With Brett Vinat. Very good, man. And I got pretty intrigued. It took me a little bit to actually come out here, but I
am Are you glad you did?
Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely glad I did. I've been able to meet a tremendous community of individuals
And it's unmatched. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Now, when it comes to the Free State Project, though, there is essentially some divisions as far as people are concerned. Now, the Free State Project, again, for an introduction, is a program or an idea to move 20,000 freedom-loving individuals into one state and then collect underwear profit. Something's supposed to happen after all of that.
Freedom.
Freedom, I suppose. And so that is kind of the motive behind that. And presently, they almost have enough signers to apparently trigger the move. They're like
93% right now.
93% in. And it is to get 20,000 people to actually sign up. And then supposedly after that, you're going to get an influx of movers in. What is the likelihood of, say, many of those people jumping in and actually doing it?
Of the 20,000, how many are going to move?
Yeah.
I think realistically, we're going to get 5,000 solidly, maybe 10,000 at most would be my guess. But that's just, you know, based on people being flaky and over a decade plus of signing up people, there's just a number of people who their email addresses have changed. They have died. it's happened where, you know, they're just not going to be connected. The people who signed up in 2002 or whatever, you know, how many of them have still, you know, active emails that are the same exact emails as they signed up back then? How many thought to, if they changed their email, how many of them thought, oh, I should go and update that with the Free State Project? So there's some that just you won't be able to reach, and there's others who may have, you know, felt committed a decade ago, but now don't feel so committed. So, you know, who knows what the actual number would be. But I think, you know, 25% is a pretty fair minimum.
And you also got to think about who decided randomly to start supporting people like Donald Trump, I suppose. And, you know, people who end up changing their particular views. Although I got to say that is one of the most interesting things that I've been able to see this year.
The Donald Trump fanaticism
The Donald Trump fanaticism, especially within the libertarian crowd. And I think
it's disturbing.
Yeah,
surprising.
It's a little bit interesting. Did he get a chance to see Donald Trump's first political ad?
Did I know?
Yeah, it's like his first like TV run, and he just says, and it almost sounds like it's a fear mongering anti Donald Trump ad, but since he's actually selling purely fear mongering, he's doing a hell of a job with it. Mm. It says, Donald Trump wants to ban Muslim immigration until we figure this stuff out. And the guy actually says that.
Mm.
And then he goes, he wants to ban the importation of Mexicans and build a border that the Mexicans that will build. And he just says will build as if it's like a defender deposit, like he already has a like a setup. I guess if they don't build it, he'll then use their bodies and skulls to build it up himself. I'm not really sure what the plan is on that end, or if it's going to work very well.
It doesn't matter what the plan is. It's just promises.
Right? Yeah, it's empty promises, empty rhetoric for political hope that will never be.
It appears to be working for him, so.
Yeah, I do wonder if it started out as a joke or was Hillary Clinton actually threw them some money and goes, hey, in order to have us not pay attention to things like the email scandal or all of the countless people that I've killed, let's go ahead and get Donald Trump in there, because the great thing about Donald Trump is that he makes everyone else look sane. Jesse Ventura looks like almost a normal person compared to Donald Trump.
Yeah, that is one of the things about him. I mean, these politicians probably have the same views as Trump, but they're not willing to say what he says. And I guess, you know, that's the credit I can give to the guy, is that he does, you know, if he's being honest, and I don't know if he is, but if he's being honest, at least he's willing to come right out and say what he wants. And sort of like Bernie Sanders, right? Like, they're both bad news. But Sanders will at least tell you he's a socialist, whereas the Democrats won't ever, you know, use that term to define themselves. The Republicans probably all would do the same things as Donald Trump, and probably the Democrats would as well. You know, lists for Muslims, banning them from the country, whatever. It's just that they have to act like that's not who they are. And then once they get into office, then they'll reveal that they're pretty much Donald Trump.
I wouldn't certainly say that the majority of Democrats inside are something like Donald Trump. A lot of them do want heavy Muslim and Mexican immigration into the country because they want to be able to get more votes and kind of disturb the, I don't know, conservative white European culture that may or may not still exist within the United States. Mm. I do find it interesting, though, that because of people like Donald Trump, the conversation regarding Islamic immigration, especially Syrian refugees coming into the United States, ends up becoming supposedly right wing whenever you state maybe there could be some possible issues. That's almost always a problem. It's the same issue that we run into with conspiracy theorists whenever we start talking about the problems of the Federal Reserve. They go, oh, well, did you know that on coast to coast, they always talk badly about Federal Reserve? It kind of gets lumped in there, which is rather unfortunate, especially to be able to have a rational dialogue on the topic of immigration, because what I see right now is it is not immigration that is occurring with the Syrian refugees coming over here. It is coercive moving by the United States government, because it is the government themselves who are subsidizing these individuals to come here. So if a libertarian is stating, well, this is a great thing, and they're suddenly agreeing with Obama, it's not right for Adam to steal from Bill and give to David, but it is okay for Adam to steal from Bill and give to Muhammad. It's a little bit confusing to me that suddenly we can just throw away our principles when it comes to some of this taxation issue because it's a topic of immigration and we don't want to come off as right-wing bigots, I suppose.
Well, I mean, I don't know all the details on the Syrian situation, but, you know, I don't support stealing from anybody for any purpose. On the other hand, the money has been stolen, and so now they're going to spend it on something. I guess I'd rather have them spending it on people rather than bombs, but that's about all.
There's the idea that they redirect funds. In general, they just ended up kind of stealing more, and I think it is irresponsible for libertarians to not actually acknowledge the issues that occur considering Muslim immigration. I don't consider all immigration, for instance, to be exactly the same. During the late 1800s, early 1900s, a massive amount of immigrants coming from Europe and Ireland and those places, they weren't directly funding those people. Like, they weren't coming here so that we could hand them a bunch of free shit. It was coming here because they had the opportunity to be able to work and prosper.
Yep.
The immigration's coming in right now, it's a little bit different. And we can actually, there's actually a better case study of Muslim immigration, rather than looking at early 1900s and 1800s immigration, we have a better case study in actually looking to Scandinavia and in Germany, where they've had an increase of immigration in those places. For instance, since the 1970s, Sweden has had an increase of 1,240% rape incidences within Sweden. Now, it sounds like a fear-mongering thing to say, they're going to rape your white women, but it is 80% of those rape cases are done by Muslims. And we have an increase of crime in those areas by 400%. In Germany, after the influx of immigration of Muslims, you have an increase of violent rates by 300%. Now, and by the way, you can look up the statistics. In fact, if you go to my YouTube videos, Syrian refugees, ISIS, and Islam, what the media isn't telling you, I give you sources. So it is interesting, though, that we ended up getting this kind of thrown into this lumped into the white xenophobic or whatever by just simply bringing up these facts. And I think Donald Trump is, of course, making the whole situation even worse by saying, you know, that bringing in Mexican immigrants is the exact same thing as bringing in Muslim immigrants, so we shouldn't be doing to either, because Mexicans really are into suicide bombings, and they're generally not doing things like, say, what just happened in New Year's.
I think most Muslims are not into suicide bombings either. There are radical Muslims who might be.
We love using that word radical, but if you take a look at the statistics on demographics as far as Muslims in westernized countries and the amount of Muslims who still agree with having Sharia law being implemented within the country or justifications for groups like ISIS and suicide bombers, they're remarkably high. And that should be disconcerting to people in the same way. So if libertarians are going to say, you know, okay, so this is my main argument as far as it's concerned. And again, I have to say, it's terrible to have to put this. When I say these things, I'm not talking about a race. I am talking about a religion, right? That's important because there's Muslims of every single kind of group. If Free Staters are going to say that we should have 20,000 people come to New Hampshire for liberty to change things, therefore you are acknowledging that mass immigration into a particular area with a specific type of ideals can change the nature of the area you're in.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. But then we go, but if we bring a bunch of people in who believe in Sharia law, that's not going to have any bad results. Who don't believe in the liberation of women and think that women should essentially dress up like Batman, but they don't get a Batmobile because they're not allowed to drive around in the car. That, to me, seems counterintuitive or contradictory to the very notion that the Free Staters can achieve something, right?
Mm.
So if you have this influx of immigration by Muslims into these other places where you're having increased incidences of crime and you have a book which justifies a lot of immorality, to be quite honest, if you are fine with objectivist morality or libertarian ethics, which I think libertarians are, it becomes not even an issue of whether we're discussing to be free or not free whenever we're talking about immigration. We're merely discussing strategy. And I think the best strategy in these particular cases is to bring in immigrants into the United States or refugees in the United States. You could send 13 to Jordan, Lebanon, or Turkey, fund 13 versus funding one here. And if they stay there, you also get to keep a similar language, which means you don't have to bring them into public schools where you have to switch up and bring in new translators and everything else. You don't have a separate culture, and then you also have a higher chance of them moving back into Syria afterwards because you don't want the best Syrians to leave Syria and then never go back. That seems like kind of a bad idea as far as that's
concerned. I don't care. I mean, if people want to leave, then I think they should be able to leave. And if they want to stay gone, they should be able to stay gone. I guess I just, you know, I see where you're coming from, that, you know, statistics are what they are. But, of course, statistics can also be, you know, manipulated by the questioner or how things are being presented or whatever. I'm not denying that there are
murder increases. And rape rates, though, seem kind of, well, I guess yeah, rape, yeah.
I'm not going to deny that those things are true. I'm going to take you at your word. Yeah. But, you know, we're here in New Hampshire where, you know, there was, what, an old lady who was followed home by some creepy guy last week, and she shot him in the chest.
Word. Absolutely.
You know, he was going to do something awful to her, rob her or rape her or whatever the hell he had in mind. But, you know, we're here in New Hampshire. It's not Germany. It's not wherever the fucking Europe where they can't have guns or defend themselves. And so I think that things will play out a little differently here.
I will completely agree with you on that. So, like, what occurred in Germany over New Year's, right, where you had this massive amount of rapes that were occurring in this this center of area where Muslim migrants were shooting off fireworks into a small population, and you have a multitude of assaults that occurred all in one specific area. Do you know what? Do you know what's not really like allowed to do in Germany?
No, I don't.
Open carry.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Or probably concealed, I would imagine. That's
either one. Yeah. So if you want to, and it's not like the cops took any particular care. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was one cop who was quoted as telling one of the women, well, you should have not been hanging out in that neighborhood.
Oh, boy.
It was going.
You were asking for it.
It was going to, it's going towards a train station. Like, what? What are you supposed to be doing in that particular case? So if feminists want to talk about things like rape culture, you should probably be bringing up incidences like this. Like, this is actually, that's, if you have a culture of people who are justifying this, that seems like a problem. Or if you have cops who are justifying it, that seems like a problem. Here in the United States, overall, we all kind of hate rapists, right? And especially child molesters. If you go to prison and you're known as a child molester, there's a good chance you're going to get stabbed in the fucking face.
Yeah.
Rightfully so, as far as I'm concerned. As long as it was legitimately found that the person was actually, you know, raping kids.
Yeah.
But so I think honestly, you know, of course, the libertarian position should be, let's get rid of taxation and let people have guns. And that'll pretty much take care of the majority of it.
I think it will. Yeah.
Yeah. And I applaud the fuck out of the Free State Project for the work that they've been doing there. I know they've been doing some rather different escapades as of late, though, with the free the nipple thing going on. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, when you say they, I mean the Free State Project.
Free State Project.
Doing a whole lot of different things. I mean,
you're
there's 1,500 people here, and they all have different projects. Not all of them are on board with free the nipple. There's still some, like, kind of socially conservative people within the liberty movement.
Consocially, actually. I like that new word. We're going to go with it. Consocially.
Yeah. Wasn't my intention, but yeah, take it. but the Free the Nipple is actually New Hampshire folks, and I don't know if they're natives. There are a couple of people who are not Free Staters. They started this Free the Nipple thing, and there was at least one Free Stater female who did go out to it, and a couple of Free Stater males accompanied her. But the idea was to go to a beach where they have a prohibition on female toplessness and to just be topless, to not make a huge spectacle out of it. I don't think they wanted to do that. That wasn't their intention. But ultimately, they got a lot of media attention in advance for this announcement. The actual day where they went and did it, they, you know, I don't blame them for coming at it this way. I wouldn't have done it this way myself, but they wanted to, like, de-spectacleize it, I guess. And so they set several hours up. So it wasn't like all the topless ladies went at one particular time to the beach. It was, just show up sometime during the day from, you know, sunrise to sunset.
Oh, that's bad performance art.
Right. And go to the beach and just, you know, enjoy your day at the beach. So I get where they were coming from. And ultimately, what did happen was they still managed to find one another on the beach and kind of got together anyway, even though that wasn't supposed to be necessarily what was going to happen. And so there was a group of them that did get together topless on the beach. And, you know, there were some looky-loos that came out, and the police ignored them in that particular instance. 2 weeks later, they went out to Guilford Beach just to actually enjoy a day at the beach and were topless. And then someone called the police on them. Three people did. The cops came and they were ticketed for violating, because apparently Guilford Beach also has the no female topless ordinance. It's legal in New Hampshire to be topless, male or female, but on these beaches they've specifically outlawed it, and that's arguably illegal for them to do that because New Hampshire is not what's called a home rule state. So towns and cities in New Hampshire aren't legally supposed to be able to prohibit things that they're not allowed to by the state. So the state government, the state legislature, has to expressly authorize a town or city to do a certain, to, you know, okay, you city, you can create a law in this area, and then they can create a law if they want to in that area. So there's no authorization for them to ban female toplessness, but they did it anyway, and so now they've ticketed two of these ladies for that, and they went to trial actually about a week and a half ago, and I was there for it. I got to record the whole thing and video.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were the one who recorded that. Because I listened to a bit of a taping of it.
It was an interesting trial.
Because
you got to actually see the snitches. All three of the people who called the cops were called as witnesses. And so they called three cops. They called three witnesses up, or three of the snitches. And it was interesting seeing what they had to say, because obviously they were very, very prudish. And one lady claimed she was going to leave New Hampshire if it turned out that New Hampshire allowed females to be topless. And turns out they allow females to be topless in New Hampshire. So I hope she leaves. But, haven't gotten a ruling yet. We're still waiting on the judge in that case. We don't know what happened.
What do you think about the people, though, who were the ones who were arrested, who were talking at the trial?
They're probably more lefty. There's one girl who is, she wouldn't describe herself as a girl. She actually said she's non-sexed. So she is an anti-gun lady, from what I understand. But, you know, she's good on this issue, so I'm willing to work with her. I got some heat from some people on Facebook.
A trans person who is against your ability to take care and secure your safety is on your side because she wants to show their tits, non-tits?
She definitely has.
That's confusing to me. I just got to say, that's a weird thing to go like, yeah, they're on my side.
Well, I mean, I'll take the assistance wherever I can get it. I'm willing to work with people who don't agree with liberty on other issues if they agree with liberty on some issues. And that's where I got some heat. Was like, well, you shouldn't work with her because she's anti your freedoms in this other area.
Yeah, I got to say, by the way, guns are kind of more important than being able to show your non or present tits at a beach.
Well, I mean, everybody has their levels of importance for different issues, and if that's important to you, then that's fine. I think they're all important. I think all freedoms are important for our own person, whether it's strapping a gun on while naked or whether it's just being naked or one or the other. Because we've actually done here in Keene years ago, there was the topless open carry event, which, come on, I mean, that's pretty epic.
Oh, no, I thought because the thing is you added in guns, right? So that's where I get
excited.
And
that made it even better, no doubt. Now, and the argument to working for working with people with whom you might disagree on things is that, well, okay, so if I'm working with this lady and, you know, she's glad that I'm helping her with this, because they were super grateful that I came there and was recording. I was the only one there, you know, besides the mainstream media. I'm the only person who put out the full trial video. There was little snippets on WMUR or whatever, but that was it. So, you know, they were grateful for that. They were grateful that their attorney, Dan Hines, is a Free Stater. So the two of the more important, you know, participants in that courtroom were Free Staters. In that, so not the actual witnesses, but the attorney and the person recording the video were both Free State Project participants. And so when you can, you know, connect with people on their issues, come to them where they are, agree with them on the things that they are already on board with freedom, then that can open their mind in the future. If there's going to be a conversation about guns, and, you know, it hasn't come up, but if at some point, you know, there's a conversation about guns and that lady's involved and I'm there, she's going to be more likely to listen to what I have to say about it than somebody who's been constantly attacking and haranguing her, you know, on social media or in the press or whatever. So, you know, you connect with people and then eventually they'll be more willing to listen to you. The Occupy New Hampshire was a great example of this. I don't know if you were in New Hampshire. I don't think you were in New Hampshire at the time. So Occupy New Hampshire, there was an Occupy Keene as well. And so I went out to that. And I also went out to the tea parties, by the way. So whenever it is that, you know, people are doing activism, I'm interested in helping if there's some level of agreement. And so I went out to Occupy with the purpose of seeing what was going on. You know, what are people saying? What are they talking about at these things? What are their issues with the government? And turns out the occupiers have a lot in common, in my opinion, with the Tea Party. They're people who are frustrated by government. They're people who understand that something's seriously wrong with the status quo, but they're not really sure what to do to fix it. And some of them still end up turning to politicians for solutions and to the political system, and we know that that's not good. But having libertarians being involved in all of these things is a good thing, because we can help steer the direction of the conversation. We can make suggestions of what to do that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have heard if all they were doing was hanging out with communists, for instance. And so what the approach that I took was, okay, well, I just want to go and I want to listen to people. I want to hear what their issues are. And after a long while of being there regularly, showing up to the General Assemblies and, you know, being an active participant in this, you know, after you've done that for a while, people will start to ask you, well, what do you think about this? And that's when you get the opportunity to explain the position of liberty on whatever the issue might happen to be. I took the same approach when I was in jail. You know, I wanted to just get to know these guys. I didn't want to push my philosophy on them because, you know, if you push against people, then they're going to resist and they're not going to be interested in what you have to say. But if you take the long road and you build relationships with folks, then they're more likely to respect you and actually care about, you know, what it is you have to say. They might not agree with you right up front, but at the very least, you can have that conversation and they'll be vulnerable enough to be willing to listen. And I think that's a starting point.
I think you do have a good point on that end, and you sold that quite well. So I thank you for that. Yeah, when I was watching the Free the Nipple trial thing, there was a lot of – I was triggered. I was triggered when I heard the terms like rape culture being thrown around and that we need to desexualize the nipple in order to prevent rape culture. I was like, I don't think my enjoyment of seeing women's breasts in a sexual manner has anything to do with my proclivity to rape.
Maybe
women.
Not you, but didn't you see the controversy over the state reps?
That guy's a creep. You see, that's the thing, is that they blame it like on the patriarchy, but do you know how most people responded? They call that guy a fucking creep.
Well, right, but...
But no, but if you're in like a Muslim country, people would go, absolutely. In fact, we should cover up their arms and their legs and their face and every other thing. Again, like, here's the thing. If a person is a rapist, overall, in our country, you will look down upon them, right? Mm-hmm. You will beat the fuck out of them. Even if there's almost no evidence, as there is on shit tons of college campuses for a lot of these rape trials, especially the Duke lacrosse case, these people's lives were ruined for doing nothing. Who was this representative, by the way?
Josh Moore is his name, and he has actually since removed his name from the bill that he was a co-sponsor on. So he was a co-sponsor of this bill that was going to, or if it passes, will criminalize toplessness for women in New Hampshire. It'll make it a misdemeanor, so you could go to jail for being topless if this happens. And he, for listeners who weren't following the controversy, if you go to freekeen.com, type in Josh Moore, you'll find his quotes that he made online. He was talking with Amanda Bolden, who's a Free State Project participant.
Awesome lady.
A great lady, early mover, super activist, and she's a state rep as well. And they were going at it on Facebook, and he said something to the effect of, oh, well, you know, if women take their tops off, then basically I should be able to grab their breasts. I mean, I'm summarizing what he said. That's a paraphrase.
It was like worse than that.
It was pretty offensive.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he's now like completely deleted his post from Facebook and has also removed himself as a sponsor from that piece of legislation. But he got support. I mean, there were still people out there who were supporting what he was, you know, they were defending the criminalizing of female toplessness. So, you know, I understand that some people will look at that and say, well, that's not as important. And that's what a lot of people have said. Well, this is not an important issue. Well, if you're a lady and you feel like you're being discriminated against, then, you know, and they want to put you in a jail cell, I think that's pretty important. I mean, if a lady wants to walk down the street topless, she should be able to do that without having to face going into a cage. And so that's a pretty important issue, just in the same way that you should be able to walk down the street with a gun on your hip and not go to a cage either.
Yeah. They're trying to create, I guess, some kind of equality between men and women, at least as far as law is concerned, which is where I think equality actually matters. As far as gender and biology are concerned, that's all a bit more confusing.
Right.
And so, yeah, the Free the Nipple thing, honestly, I don't have a strong opinion either way. I think, obviously, the position should be that women should be able to show their tits if they want to in those
public spaces. It's a cultural issue, too. And this is something that that some of the activists in Keene have taken heat for in the past. I don't know if you ever heard, we did Topless Tuesdays here years ago. So Free the Nipple is sort of the newer version of something that's already happened in Keene, where we had Topless Tuesdays back in like 2009. Rich Paul, myself, and a few ladies and some other guys were in the park, and everyone was topless, and there was a nice topless group photo. And
Rich Paul hanging out with naked ladies, that is a shocker.
Yeah, he's a ladies' man. And so, you know, that was posted on freekeen.com, and there was this huge controversy about it. Like, you know, if you ask people
what were some of the most offensive things that Keene activists have done. If you ask people in Keene, they'll remember Topless Tuesdays. I mean, it only really happened on two Tuesdays, and then it was over because we couldn't get any more ladies to come out and participate, because there really aren't that many ladies who want to go out there and do that. But, you know, this is sort of a retread of that situation, although in Keene it's not illegal to be topless, so no one was arrested for it. It was just more of a social activism. So, you know, activism can be to try to change the system or whatever, and it can also be to try to change people's minds and how they think.
Well, I think that that's obviously where I'm going with a lot of the activism that I do, because mine isn't straight up political. Although, honestly, my work against child protective services, which has been paramount, that's been the absolute most important thing that I've been doing for the last couple of years, wrote a book on it. That's of utmost importance, is kind of changing the way family laws is considered. So that's my kind of political part. I'm kind of into the socialism thing. Essentially, whatever is within your locus of control is where you should be managing and pushing most of your time, which is, for me, it's family court, because I'm a former child protective service investigator, yada, 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 right. And I have a whole network there. But the other one that I do have some control over is the discussion of philosophy, epistemology, and the ideas in regards to religion, because that was all of my activism before this. I didn't come into the activist circles or the public speaking circles and everything else based off of the family court stuff. It was getting yelled at by Muslims and Christians, and me yelling back, to be quite honest, for about 6 years in college, that gave me the ability for rhetoric to be able to discuss and not say every single 5 seconds while I'm talking to you, unlike some of the callers on both of our shows.
Sure.
And so for me, it is absolutely about changing the mindset of individuals, because in order to be able to get physical liberation, there has to be a liberation of the mind. And my position is that in order to free the mind, we have to be able to discover answers without the use of authority-based figures, which means essentially the implementation of the trivium, where we understand our words, grammar. We try to find inner consistencies to see if they actually bond with material reality and if there's inner contradictions. And then we figure out how to regularly make those messages. And faith, as far as religion is concerned, is antithetical to that. Now, you could say I have faith in Dave. If there's prior evidence to suggest that Dave's not an alcoholic, I can probably think that he's not going to be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow while he's not sober. But if I say the reason why I believe this is because of faith and you can't deny my faith, well, that's just a statement that's one of two things. It's either someone telling you to shut up, or that I believe in something that is in spite of or in contradiction to reason and evidence, which I think is against the liberation of thought and the mind to be able to propel and move us forward. Because I think of libertarianism as political atheism. It's an acknowledgement that the state is the idea of centrally planning humanity, which is very religious in its mindset as far as controlling is concerned. This is antithetical to the way that the people work. It's not based off of reason and evidence. And as far as morality is concerned, there's no form of consistency. So it's contradictory in its nature, it's authoritarian-based in its power structure, and it goes against the will of individuals in the name of the collective, which doesn't really exist.
Doesn't exist, yeah, sure.
Because it's only individuals.
Right.
And so in the religious realm, I think of atheism as almost a kind of anarchism as far as religion is concerned, where we're kind of shooting that thing away. But I've been ranting and taking out
having
your ear
for... I've been a former atheist myself, I can see that.
We can have the pantheist discussion. The pantheist, or okay, fuck it. We have some time. All right, what is it, three? All right. I can do this for a little bit.
All right.
Describe your religious affiliations.
So I'm actually, I grew up a Presbyterian, became an atheist when I was a teenager, kind of came out of the closet to my parents as an atheist when I was 16, but I'd sort of been an atheist since I was like 13, and then was an atheist for about a decade, and ultimately became a panentheist, which is very similar to a pantheist. A pantheist is someone who believes that everything is God. The panentheist sort of takes into account the metaphysical, that which you can't see. So the idea being that everything and everything else that you don't know about is also God. So everything together, the whole universe and whatever it is that's beyond that, that we can't necessarily know through our senses, is God. That's in short.
Why do you attach the word God to it?
Well, because some people understand that it sort of brings the concept home for some folks, although it can maybe confuse others. God, the universe, I think that's all one in the same. So it's not God as like your typical daddy God that you might be used to from Christianity, where there's some sort of judging man in the sky with a big long beard who will send you to either a bad place or a good place if you've been a good or bad little boy. So that's not the same kind of God. It's a much bigger concept for God than that. But it's words are limited. Human vocabulary, it's hard to describe things like
then why that. Use a word that has so much emotional connotation and a billion different definitions in order to describe something that's actually quite easy to understand? The universe is the universe. A equals A. I don't understand why you have to add in that word that, I mean, Allah Akbar, you know, God is great. Bam, cut off your head. Mm-hmm. Why you would add in that terminology if you are speaking from a completely materialist type of perspective, which I don't believe you are, because aren't you into kind of the whole secret stuff?
Sure. Law of attraction, creating your own reality.
Law is too strong of a word, but
yeah.
So law of attraction, go ahead and define that for me.
Sure. Law of attraction is the idea that like attracts like, that what you put out there, you kind of get back from the universe. And I think that in my life, there's been a lot of evidence for that. Obviously, some people don't subscribe to that, and that's fine. But ultimately, if it's been my observation that if you put good things out there, good things do tend to come back. That doesn't mean bad things won't happen in life, but it just depends on the perspective that you bring to the table is kind of what your experience is. So if you are a very, very negative person and all you see is negative things in life, well, guess what? Life is going to give more of that to you. Same thing with if you're a very positive person and you look for the positive in people and you look for the positive around you, you'll see more of that. Does that mean that there's actually more of it? Maybe not, but it does mean that maybe you're self-selecting and you're experiencing that. And that's a good thing. I think that's worth putting effort into.
Do you not think that could possibly cause victim blaming?
Can you tell me a little more about that?
A 5-year-old who dies of cancer. Did they have bad vibes, bro? Or, I mean, like, what gave them? I mean, 500,000 kids are going to die. Every year from completely preventable causes, like non-clean drinking water, things like that, which they had absolutely no control over. We're talking, like, kids under the age of five. Mm-hmm. They had no power in this particular case. You're going to have shit tons of kids who are going to die of things like leukemia. You're going to have many, many individuals who are going to starve to death or was never fostered in them the ability to be educated at home or in any other way, and essentially just, end up chopping up people's heads in places like Libya or Lebanon, where they didn't really get any kind of formal education whatsoever or understanding of the universe or the cosmos or the karma or anything, because all they've seen is vengeance and violence and disease and pestilence around them.
Yeah, there's no doubt that life is and can be a very ugly process, and I think that ultimately things do work towards getting better over time, even though it's a bit messy, meaning that people die in ugly ways, and there's rape and murder and terrible things that
asteroids.
Go on.
Yeah.
and asteroids, yeah.
I mean, humanity has gone through cycles of phases that have risen and then fallen due to natural disasters, flooding. I mean, massive stuff has occurred. There was a point in history in which the temperature had switched from about 50 degrees to negative 150 degrees over a course of about 12 hours due to a meteoric hit, and that was when humans were around. People just froze the fuck to death. Because for a little bit allowable of capitalism that we've had over the last 250 to 300 years, and then the bringing up of Western civilization over the course of the last couple thousand years, that we have the time to be able to ponder the idea that if I just bring out good vibes, then good stuff will happen to me. Because for a lot of rest of history, it's been kids dying of smallpox, tuberculosis, diphtheria, bubonic plague, malaria. Sure. I mean, 2 million people, again, and this year will die from malaria for nothing. Get hit by a fucking mosquito.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's not death by the circumstances or death by the planet or the environment, then it's death by man, right? Man killing man. I mean, there's no shortage of violence in the world. And that doesn't please me, and that's one of the reasons why I'm on the mission that I'm on, is to spread the ideas of liberty, so hopefully we can have more peace in the future. And, it's not going to happen tomorrow, unfortunately.
I absolutely think for the work that you do, obviously, with Free Talk Live, it's one of the most important things that's going on as far as spreading this message right now. Obviously, all the content, no one's going to agree with all the content, not even you, because, you're going to have on guests and things like that who are going to be different of differing views.
Well, right. I mean, I've got a network, LRN.FM, where we have dozens of different shows. One of them is an atheist show, actually. So it's Godless Liberty. I don't know if you've heard of those guys. But,
nope.
They do a weekly podcast.
Who's the guy?
What's that?
Who are they?
God, I don't remember their names.
But you have them.
I've got dozens of shows on the network. I'd have to pull up a database where I've got all the names of the hosts and everything. But they have a fun show and they seem to have a good time. But somebody might ask, well, you guys are a church, the Shire Free Church, that runs this network. Why do you have a show
run by atheists on this network that's run by a church. To me, the mission is to spread the ideas of liberty with the hope of fostering peace. The mission of the Shire Free Church is to foster peace. And it's an interfaith church. So Muslims, Christians, you know, Buddhists, whoever, everybody's welcome, even atheists, if their belief is a peaceful belief. And that's like ultimately the qualifier. So I want to reach atheists with a message of peace. I want to reach atheists with a message of no state and how that is a good thing. And you do that with your show, and hopefully we'll get you on one of these days when you start producing on a more regular basis. But that's ultimately my mission. I mean, I was an atheist at one point and am not anymore. And so, you know, maybe at some point the atheist
did have anything to do with drugs.
Huh?
Did it have anything to do with drugs?
Yeah, absolutely.
I knew it. Yeah. Was DMT?
No, I didn't try DMT until later on. But let's see. It was probably, you know, LSD, mushrooms, MDMA, all of those drugs. Not combined, not at once necessarily. But, I kind of had an epiphany when I went insane after staying up for 3 or 4 days and basically going totally bonkers, which was a crazy, terrifying, but also wonderful experience in a lot of
life is about
ways.
Collecting stories, and that sounds like a hell of a one. Please give my audience a little bit of it.
It's
3 to 4 days. Was it
terrible?
So were you
story.
Meth?
No. I just I took LSD and
too then, much apparently.
No, it wasn't a big dose. It was just one of those things where, you know, you realize that time doesn't actually exist. It's this thing that man has created. And then I decided I was going to stay awake for because time didn't exist. Why do I need to sleep? And that was really ultimately the mistake was the staying awake. Because really all there is right now. Time really is something that we've created to kind of experience reality with and kind of understand it and be able to communicate with one another. But ultimately all there is now, the moment, the current present moment that you're in. The future, you know, doesn't exist and the past doesn't exist. All that really exists is now. But sleeping's important because it's a good way to reset yourself and not go insane. And if you do stay up for too long, then you will go insane. I mean, it is absolutely something that will happen to everyone. It's the most powerful hallucinogen known to man that I've ever experienced. And wow.
That's inevitably a bad trip, though.
It was at times very, very bad, like horrifyingly bad. And but at other times, it was very, very profound and wonderful. Basically, it's like your dreams. I mean, it's hard to describe things like this, but I'll do my best. It's like your dreams are happening while you're awake. And so you're moving around, your eyes are open, you're able to talk with people, but not necessarily on the same level as they am. You're probably babbling and talking nonsense, but that's because you're literally dreaming while you're awake. So I would have things from my life, popular culture or whatever, sort of just coming into my reality, and it was just the most bizarre, crazy experience. I don't recommend it at all. I don't want to make it sound like this is something that was a good thing. It was a bad thing. I was not myself. I was doing things that I would otherwise not normally do, and it was dangerous, and it was scary. And I've since actually had sort of the reverse experience. So I had some good friends who helped take care of me during this situation. This was more than it's almost a decade ago when this happened. So I just, like, it was like a year after I'd moved to New Hampshire. And so anyway, I had some really good friends who helped me in this situation. And recently we had a situation here in Keene with an early mover for the Free State Project who also had a similar break from reality. He was also up for too long and started to go insane. Unfortunately, he had a gun on him while he was doing this. So we were able to disarm him.
Jesus.
Relatively early on in the process. He was like crawling out of windows. It was just, I can't
what
even
was he
really,
on?
Sleep, lack of sleep.
Oh, see, that there has to be a reason, psychological reason why he would choose to not sleep that long though, man.
The dude had some issues. He's gone now, but it was just a harrowing experience taking care of him and was like, okay, well, here's karma coming back around, right? You know, like I did this to people and now here I am. I get to be the one taking care of the crazy guy. And so we did, you know, we took care of him and it was horrifying. And it was like a 36-hour long process that involved several activists sort of watching over him and trying to keep him safe and not, you know, so he doesn't hurt himself and do something stupid or end up getting arrested. Because if you go outside of your house in that state, you will end up in a crazy ward or a prison cell one or the other.
So. It's funny that you call it karma because I think it's the inevitable result of housing the outcasts of society who end up moving to New Hampshire. Some weird stuff is going to inevitably occur when it comes to having to take care of people.
But it's funny that it happened same circumstances that you
except
know,
without acid and he had a gun.
Right.
So it's just a guy who stayed up too late and he had
But that's why I went crazy too, is because I stayed up too late. Had I gone to sleep, I'd have been fine. It wasn't the acid that drove me to that state.
You don't think it was possibly? And by the way, I'm a acid proponent. Although I will state, I remember being my last acid trip, I was holding someone else's hand. We're like, I just want to fall asleep. I haven't slept in fucking forever. Because it doesn't let you sleep.
Yeah, the weird acid sleep.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the worst. And like when you finally go to bed, your dreams are all fucked up. And
Yeah.
It's a rough spot. So, but the thing is okay, you were up for 4 days. You lost your sense of reality as a whole.
I don't remember a lot.
You're hallucinating. You don't remember most of it. And then God? I don't understand that.
No, I don't think it was necessarily just that one experience. I just think that I guess I can't really explain to you the process that came, you know, that allowed me to come to the conclusion that that the universe is God, basically. Without, you know, it's not the same kind of God of like what you're used to in typical religions of Christianity and Muslim. And I can understand why you would say, well, the universe is the universe, and that's fine. You know, that the universe
is it's shareable, right? Like, yeah. So this is one of the issues with faith is I can make a blanket statement, but I'm not really giving any evidence for it. I'm saying it's a feeling or something like that, which, again, emotional subjectivity is incredibly important. But the moment emotional subjectivity then transforms itself to a statement regarding objective reality, that's the importance of having something like the scientific method or just logical deduction as a whole, right? I mean, I think you would agree with that. Like,
yeah.
If I say, like, in my mind, there's a unicorn right there. Well, there's not really a unicorn right there. That'd be cool.
You have to prove it.
Yeah, you have to prove it. So that's the benefit of something like the scientific method is that I can, especially if I can translate the language wise, I can tell anyone on Earth, as long as they kind of understand what the math or whatever it is that there is, it's actually a shareable experience between two people, which is why I don't think it's a bad thing to hold the view, well, until you can kind of prove it to me, I don't really see it. And when we're talking about the secret thing earlier, and I'm presenting a lot of evidence to the contrary as far as many, many people's lives, you know, 5-year-olds dying of cancer. That's a lot of evidence against the suggestion of the law of attraction. The promotion of the law of attraction is simply living a virtuous life can sometimes gain you some positive things, which is absolutely true. Like if you treat everyone like a dick, people are probably going to treat you badly.
That's true. We
have libertarians in this community who have proven this to be true.
Right.
in remarkable fashion. So I think just be excellent to each other is almost like a atheist plus be excellent to each other. You get pretty far in to the kind of libertarian atheist position, which I think I'm postulating. And in many ways, you kind of are too. You're just adding in a bit of extra orchestration to it.
You know, I'm no scientist, but, you know, I haven't. So I'm sure there are some science-y people who can poke some holes in what I might say.
They have.
But I like the idea that everything is connected. And I think that there's some evidence in science for that. On like a atomic
level. Atoms are all touching one another, right?
Right.
And
you're connected to the desk ultimately, and you're connected to the other people on the other side of the globe.
We are the benefits of the explosions of stars, which form the nitrogen and oxygen compounds and everything else.
You're the same particles or whatever that were there when the Big Bang happened, mm-hmm. right? So the belief in God doesn't necessarily mean that you can't believe in evolution and you can't believe in the Big Bang or whatever. And I don't know how the universe started, but maybe that's how it was. And
possibly. I don't know.
And that's a fair thing to say. Either way, you know, here we are now. And if it's true that everything is connected, then I think that's evidence that's sort of science leading towards religion, or at least this particular religion, the panentheistic view. If everything is connected, that doesn't answer the question about consciousness, obviously, because that's just more of like the physical reality. Oh, well, this separation is an illusion. We're actually all connected. Well, yeah, but okay, then that means that you're responsible for the wars of the world, right? Like that means that you are Barack Obama ultimately, and that's kind of a hard thing to that's kind of a hard thing to rationalize.
My eyes just rolled behind my head, folks.
Right.
For those without video,
which means you have to take responsibility for it. So. You know, I try to do my best to move the universe in the way that I would like to see, which is more peace. And that's ultimately what I'm doing here.
Ian, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a blast. Thankfully,
thanks, it's a pleasure.
Because you do radio all the time, I'm not going to have to edit out any ums. So fantastic. And again, folks, if you want to subscribe, you can go to iTunes or Stitcher or any other podcast app. And you can find everything on the new website, libertarian-atheist.com. It is connected with the Think About Now Network. Have a fantastic day, folks. Thanks again, Ian.
Thanks.
From the sky he flooded the lamb and he set it on fire. He said, fear me again. No, I'm your father. Remember that no one can breathe underwater. So bend your knees and bow your heads. Save your babies. Here's your future. Yeah, here's your future. God reached his hands out from the sky. God asked Noah if he wanted to die. He said, no, sir. Oh, no, sir. God said, here's your future. It's gonna rain. So we're packing our things. We're building a boat. We're gonna create the new master race. Cause we're so pure. Oh Lord, we're so pure. So here's your future. God told his son, it's time to come home. I promise you won't have to die all alone. I need you to pay for the sins I create. Son said I will, but dad, I'm afraid. Here's your future.